Galatians chapter 5, let's go to verse number 22. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. Let's pray. Dear Father, Lord, Lord, we thank you for America. Thank you for our country, Lord. And Lord, I thank you for the things that we've seen in our country recently where it seems like some are turning to you and wanting answers and looking for hope, Lord. And I pray for those of us that have been given the hope and given the answer, Lord, that we would, in these last days of our life, Lord, in the last days before you come, Lord, that we would strive to help turn America back to you. And Lord, I pray that you'd use tonight, Lord, and what we have here in Scripture to help each and every one of us. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Here in Galatians 5 is where Paul gives us a list, not of rules, but of fruit, and the fruit of the Spirit we see here in these few verses. And it makes me think of grocery shopping. And how many of you have gone to the store before just for not a full, you know, getting everything, but you just were going to go to the store to get one thing or two things before. And it was only going to cost maybe 10 bucks just to get that. And somehow you walked out with $178 worth of stuff. Had that happen. I think us men are on it. We can blame our wives, but I think us men are the worst if we go when we're hungry. Because when I go when I'm hungry, man, I'm getting all the good stuff. And none of it creates a meal. It's just all snacks and treats and just good stuff. And but it also reminded me yesterday, this I was studying for this yesterday, and this really became real to me yesterday because my wife, we were in Linton, and she said, oh, can we stop at the store? I need to grab, you know, it was like one or two things. And I said, oh, yeah, sure. Let's run into Walmart real quick. So I dropped her off. And I had the kids in the car, and she ran in. 10 minutes went by, 15 minutes went by. You know, it was in the produce section. I mean, it's right there in the front. 20, 25 minutes, 30 minutes goes by, and I'm like, let me call her up, make sure she's okay. You know, in there, call her up. She's like, no, I'm in the checkout line. Don't worry. I'm okay. I just want to check, make sure you're okay. She gets in the car, and she's just like, she went in there to get avocados, and she was just like, well, I remember we need this for dinner and this for dinner, and then and I didn't have, we don't have anything for breakfast, so I had to get this for breakfast. I'm like, okay, I just wanted to make sure you're okay. That's all I was checking on. She said, oh, stink, I forgot to get the avocados. I said, of course you did. She was messing with me, but that has happened before. How many of you have done that before? You went in for one thing, and you thought of all these other things to get, but I think that's kind of how it is. In our Christian life is everyone has good intentions in your Christian life to do good. And, but it's amazing how this world and sin and the temptations of this world can really get us off track of where we have intended to go in our life. And Paul tells the believers here in Galatia that the Christian life can feel the same way. And you walk into life with the intention of following Christ, the intention of doing right, making good decisions, but distractions, temptations, attitudes, and the flesh pull you off track. And it happens all the time, each and every one of us. And before you know it, you've got yourself doing the wrong things when you originally had the right intentions. Been there before? Well, in Galatians 5, Paul says the flesh produces works, and anger, envy, or strife, or immorality, and bitterness, things that weigh heavy on our soul. But the Spirit produces fruit. How many like fruit? You enjoy fruit. I'm glad if you have a fruit tree. I've said this before in California. When you have a fruit tree in your house in California in the backyard, the value of your house goes up quite a bit if it produces fruit. If it doesn't produce fruit and you marketed it that it produced fruit, you can get yourself in a lawsuit with that. It's a funny thing, but in California, a fruit tree is valuable because it takes a long time for that fruit tree to grow. And when you've got an established one that's producing fruit, man, it brings value to that house. And fruit is something refreshing or nourishing. And in the Bible here, it's Christ-like character that produces your life and everyone around you. My grandpa, I have this written here in my Bible. My grandpa Nichols used to say this. He said, the works of the flesh drain you, but the Spirit or the fruit of the Spirit sustains you. Let me say that again. The works of the flesh drain you, but the fruit of the Spirit sustain you. You see, fruit is the natural result of a healthy tree, right? If it's a healthy tree, it's going to produce fruit. No apple tree wakes up stressed out hoping it can produce some fruit that day. It's just a byproduct of what's inside of it and how healthy that tree is. And the fruit of the Spirit is the byproduct of the Holy Ghost inside of you. What you produce as a Christian is what's really happening on the inside of your life. And what God's working on in your life that you're allowing him to work on then comes out and is the fruit that you produce as a Christian. I believe the fruit of the Spirit is the proof of the Spirit. A tree doesn't have to convince anyone what it is. Their fruit reveals what it is. We don't wonder when we see an apple growing from a tree, I wonder what kind of tree that is. You know what kind of tree it is just by looking at the fruit that it's producing. So Paul puts forward this beautiful basket, if you will, of nine virtues or nine qualities that are impossible to produce without the Spirit of God. And in chapter 5 here, I want to preach on the fruit that never spoils. The fruit that never spoils. And number one, the root of the fruit is Christ in you. The root of the fruit is Christ in you. And verse 22, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is. Notice how it doesn't say the fruit of your talent or the fruit of your personality or the fruit of how really, really hard you work. It doesn't say that. It says the fruit of the what? Say it with me. The fruit of the Spirit. It doesn't grow because you are good. It grows because God is in you. It's what's on the inside. You don't grow love by trying to be more loving. You grow love by getting closer to the one who is love. You don't grow peace by trying to be more calm. You grow peace by drawing near to the Prince of Peace. You don't grow joy by attempting to be happy. You grow joy by letting the Spirit fill your heart. See, there's a proper way to do things. It's easy to say, hey, just be happy. Be happy. What's going on? Be happy. Now, there's got to be some things on the inside that produce that joy, produce that happiness on the inside. You can't walk in the flesh and expect to have the fruit of the Spirit. Doesn't work. Man, you can fake it if you want. For a short time, you will be exposed. You will be exposed. The Spirit is the sap that produces the fruit. How many like when you touch sap, it just feels great on your hands. It's so easy to get off. No. Hey, but the sap is a very important part of that tree. Very important part. It's the life of the tree, and it flows through. The sap flows through that tree. It's invisible, but it's essential. It's what's on the inside of that tree that's making that tree be healthy and produce. The Holy Ghost, I believe, is the sap of our Christian life. It's on the inside. We don't see it. We don't see the Holy Ghost, but he's working on the inside when we allow him to. And we may not always feel him, but his life will show up in our fruit. I would guess most of you in this room have a fake plant somewhere in your house, probably in the living room, maybe, to look good all the time that you don't have to worry about watering. And it's the easiest ones to keep up with, right? And man, it looks good, looks clean, looks fresh, always looks green, whatever it's supposed to look like, just always look that way. It's got lots of dust on it probably because you haven't dusted it in a while. Every now and then you dust it. But I think that's kind of a representation of the Christian life is, boy, we come to church and we're fake on the inside, but we come to church and man, we look great on the outside. Man, we come to church with a smile. We come to church faithfully. We bring our Bible faithfully. Man, we teach a Sunday school. We're looking good on the inside, but on the outside, we know just as well as our Savior knows up above that we are fake and we're not where we need to be spiritually in our life. And our fruit eventually gets exposed. I'm sorry, but you can't fake people out for very long. You just can't. You can't fake teenagers out. You can't fake kids out for very long. People realize when you're just not real, when the fruit is just not genuine. The Bible talks about the fruit of the Spirit is one cluster. Notice how it says fruit, not fruits. It's singular. Meaning you can't say, well, I have joy, but patience, I don't do patience, all right? I've got peace, but but love, that's not really my thing. No, the Bible says that if you've got the fruits of the Spirit, they'll all start showing up in your life. When you allow the Holy Spirit to work in your life, you will start seeing all of them start to become evident in your life. Paul says nine things, nine qualities, nine different fruits of the Spirit. Secondly, tonight, the character of the fruit is what Christ looks like in you. The character of the fruit is what Christ looks like in you. Let's look at these nine things real quick that he mentions. Paul says, number one, fruit is love. Fruit is love. Love is not just an emotion. It's a decision to put others first. It's a decision to put others first. We learn that as husbands and wives in marriage, or if you've got children, man, you learn as a husband, as a father, as a mother, as a spouse, you learn to put others first. But it should extend beyond your family. It's easy to put your wife or your husband first. It's easy to put maybe your children first. But what about other Christians? Do you think of them? And we've got Christmas in July, a little bit of a financial sacrifice where you've got to think of somebody else. What was it again, Pastor? The old, something old from someone old or something like that? Something old from someone old. Something that you've got to, you know, I love that kid and I'm going to prove it to him. I'm going to give them something that means something to me, that's valuable to me, that I'm going to give to them. Love is putting others first. Jesus said the world would know us by our love, not our arguments with one another. Amen. Not our arguments with one another. Some of us say we love everybody, but not everybody's lovable. Right? Oh, yeah, I love everybody. And we say, oh, man, I love everybody until they get on my nerves. Right? I love everybody until they get on my nerves. It's something that we all have to work on, loving people. And love is Christ the giver shining through us. I think there's nobody greater we can learn from about loving than Christ our Savior. Man, I don't know why he loves me, why he keeps forgiving me, and why he keeps using me in the ministry, but I'm thankful that he loves me in spite of who I am. If you're thankful he loves you, would you just say amen tonight? Amen. How about this? He talks about joy. Joy. I put this, gladness independent of circumstances. See, happiness is determined upon circumstances, right? When things go bad, man, you're not happy. And when things go good, you are happy. But joy is about who's on the inside. And only one person can create that joy, and his name is Jesus Christ. He's the only one that can give you that joy. You just can't have it. Oh, you may say people that don't go to church are happy, but you can't say they have joy if they don't have Jesus on the inside. He's the only one that can provide that. Joy in the Lord is the best cure for all diseases of life. Then he mentions this, peace, calm in the chaos. For the Snyder, there's no chaos at your home, right? I mean, nine going on 10, is that right? 9 going on 10, kids, no chaos. They're not bored at their house. There's no time to be bored at the house, right, brother? But calm in the chaos. If you've got kids, you've got a job, if you live a life at all, chaos happens, right? And things happen, and at times, you just want it to be what? Calm. Don't you just joy when it's just peaceful? Peaceful? And when I put the kids to bed and they finally go to sleep, peaceful. Peaceful, calm in the chaos. Peace is not the absence of problems, it's just the presence of God. The presence of God brings peace in our life. Number four, he lists long suffering. And this is the good one. Long suffering. Patience with people. Patience with people. I believe the Lord gave me patience. I do. But then he gave me people to practice it on, right? People are the ones that just test your patience more than anything else, right? They just do. And it's something that each and one of us, the Bible doesn't say how you need to have patience with traffic, or you need to have patience with, you know, whatever it is in our life. He says patience, and he's talking about long suffering, patience with people. You want people to have patience with you. Do we have patience with one another? I believe that we should have a long fuse of patience. It's love, right? Love for other people is with our kids. It's going to be tough sometimes when they are being disobedient, not listening, or loud and crazy, and they're taking forever to learn. You know, in the kitchen, my kids, my daughter Audrey loves, if someone's in the kitchen, me or my wife, especially if my wife's in there, if we are cooking, she wants to cook every single meal with you, every meal. Like, it's just, she's like a magnet to the kitchen, wants to be in there. It takes a lot of patience for dad to cook with Audrey. And I love it when she's there, but man, she wants to be a part of every single process of the cooking. And I get to experience some long suffering during that time sometimes. And the spills, if I walk away, man, I turn around and she ruined a part of it and I got to start over. No, it's okay. I just got to go to the store and get more ingredients. That's all. We won't send mom, okay? I'll go get it, okay? But long suffering, man, there's a lot of things in our life. There's a lot of things in our life where we learn just to have patience. Learn to have patience. And Paul's talking about learning to have patience with people. How about this? Number five, he said gentleness. I believe it's strength. Gentleness is strength under control. Strength under control. It's not weakness, it's Christ-likeness. Then he mentions goodness, doing right with the right heart. Goodness is holiness with compassion. Holiness with compassion is blessing others when nobody is looking. And then how about he mentions this? Faith, faithfulness, loyalty, trustworthiness. That's reliability, consistency, dependability. Not perfect people, but reliable people. How many like someone who's just reliable? You like someone who's reliable? Christians should be someone who are reliable. Amen. And in the workplace, if you're in this room tonight and you come to Blessed Soul Baptist Church, man, you're representing your Savior. You're representing your church. You're representing your family. Man, wherever your workplace is, man, you should have a reputation of just being dependable, being faithful to your job. Them not having to worry about them quitting. I remember going to Golden State Baptist College, and one reputation the college had was it was all the different in the Silicon Valley there, you've got all the huge tech companies there. You've got Google and you've got Yahoo and you name it, Tesla, and every company you can think of that's big in the tech industry is like right there. And all the college students get an opportunity to work there. And those companies come to the college begging for workers from the college because they know they're great workers. They're hardworking. They've been taught to work hard. And Pastor Cheever, every single school year, because they have a job fair where all these companies come, they set up tents, and the kids get an opportunity to get really high-paying jobs. And Pastor Cheever, I mean, he grills the students about the reputation that the college has. Don't be the one that ruins our reputation. Don't be the one that destroys the name of Golden State Baptist College because of your dumb decisions. Now, I think of us as Christians. Man, we've got someone representing, and man, our reputation is huge if we're ever going to reach people for the Savior. Meekness, he says, meekness, power under authority is what I think meekness is. Power under authority, not a doormat, not timid. It is strength submitted to God. Man, there's people all throughout the scripture that I believe had strength, but were submitted to God. Moses was meek, yet he confronted Pharaoh. Jesus was meek, yet he cleansed the temple. Amen. Number nine, and lastly, of these fruits, temperance. I believe temperance is spirit-controlled desires. Spirit-controlled desires. Temperance is self-control, powered by the Holy Ghost. We want to have temperance in our life, but we need His help to help us have temperance. I think of a well-trained guard dog. That's well-trained, not just can bark loud and is scary looking, but a well-trained guard dog is a dog that obeys its master, right? And is strong and has a lot of strength and a lot of power, but under control, the dog isn't weak, it's just disciplined. And it just obeys the master. When the master tells it what to do, when the master needs protection, he obeys and will protect. I believe us as Christians, we get tempted to do things all the time. We have the freedom to do whatever we want. But I believe if we have temperance, we'll make the right decision rather than just living a life that's free to do whatever we want. And when we're tempted to do wrong, man, we will temper that decision. We'll do something great with that decision, actually obey our Savior, and actually follow the principles of Scripture and do and have self-control, because when we walk around in our daily life, man, there's temptations all around everywhere we go. And you go to the big city, you go anywhere, temptation after temptation. And each one of us have a certain temptation that's stronger than someone else's temptation. And Satan knows what your temptations are. He knows how to get you. He knows how to attack you. He's not going to attack you the same way he attacks the person sitting next to you tonight. He knows what's going to get you to fall. He knows what's going to get you to crumble. And I believe as a Christian, these nine qualities, these nine things that he mentions, the fruit of the Spirit, we discover they are not merely virtues for Christians just to imitate. They are a portrait of Jesus Christ himself. And every fruit listed here in Galatians 5, verse 23 there, and verse 22, or 22 and verse 23, they perfectly display the life of our Savior. They perfectly display him and who he was and what he stood for. Our goal is not, or the Spirit's goal in our life is not simply just to create nice people. A Christian shouldn't just be looked at as nice people. We should be looked at as Christ followers. Jesus is trying to recreate himself through in us. Pastor says all the time, the ultimate goal of the Christian life is to be like Jesus. That should be our goal. And if our goal is that, then these nine things right here should be something that should be a part of our life. They should be a part of our life. Lastly tonight, the result of the fruit is a life that reflects Christ to the world. Verse 23 says, against such there is no evil, meaning there's no law against love. There's no government against joy. There's no limit to peace. There's no restriction on goodness. Aren't you glad for the Savior, God's goodness in our life? Man, I'm thankful for that. And I'm thankful for there's no limit on it. When the fruit of the Spirit is growing in our life, people will see Christ in you. Your coworkers know if you're real. Your neighbors are going to know if you're real. They're going to see the fruit of you and know whether it's real or not. They may not understand your doctrines. They may not understand your convictions, but they understand your fruit. They understand the good things about you. They understand if they were to express what they see in you and the good qualities they see in you, they could list the fruits that they see in you. They may not have to be a Christian, but they could say, man, they're really good at this. Boy, they show a lot of patience. Man, they're just faithful to church. Man, they just have a good temperament all the time. Every time I'm around them, they don't have an angry spirit in them. They could talk about you in a way that they see with their own eyes. Not just what they heard, but what they see being your neighbor. Your love for your Savior will help lift discouraged people. Your peace will calm the anxious. Your joy strengthens the weary. Your goodness blesses the broken. Here's what D.L. Moody said. He said, of all the testimonies for Christ, a fruitful Christian life is the most convincing. Your fruitful Christian life is the most convincing. Many near this room have a neighbor who's lost. You have a family member who's lost, a friend who's lost. And your testimony of who you are that they see will be the most convincing thing to help them become a Christian someday. Your testimony, your faithfulness, the fruits of the Spirit in you is more powerful than you think it is. Lastly, the fruit shows that you walk in the Spirit. You walk in the Spirit. How many of you say in your life, there was somebody who's not here today, they're dead and gone, but there was someone who you looked up to and you said, man, they had the fruits of the Spirit, and that's why I looked up to them. My hand's up. Some saints of God in my life that trailed the trail in front of me, that left a testimony behind that, man, I could testify and tell stories about how good they were and how their testimony helped me and the fruits of the Spirit that were in them. I'm thankful for good examples in my life. I'm thankful for those that made sacrifice, made tough decisions, but ultimately showed the fruits of the Spirit in their life. Your fruit will give you influence. You know that? Your fruit will give you influence to your friends, to your coworkers, to your family, those around you. Man, when we go to the Dollar General or Family Dollar, do the people here at Blessed Hope here in Jacksonville, do we have a testimony that people just know they're from Blessed Hope? It's just something you can just tell. I can just tell, man, that lady, she's from Blessed Hope. She's got to be from Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Man, the way they talk, the way they treat me. Man, I think every time you go in a store anywhere in our community here, should try to strike up a conversation with them. Short, doesn't have to be long, but man, be friendly. I think as a Christian, man, when we go places, we shouldn't just go get gas, $30, and then pump three. All right, bye. Man, why do we act like that? We should leave a testimony behind It doesn't take much to be thankful, to be friendly to them. How's your day going? How's your day going? That's awesome. Good to hear. That's good for you. Just being friendly, you'd be surprised at how much that does for somebody who's depressed and wondering, how are you so happy all the time? Just by you simply showing like you care about them, that you want to talk to them, that you want to spend 30 seconds or a minute talking to them, rather than acting like every person else in the world who just comes, you know, COVID has ruined our conversations with one another. Man, it's better out here in the country than when I grew up in Sacramento. But man, you wave at people in Sacramento and people think you're flipping them off. Man, they honk the horn. They're like, what's going on? Why are you waving at me? And I remember my dad talking about how when he moved from Wyoming to California, he's like, in Wyoming, man, everyone was driving to go like that to one another. And he said, then he's like, I moved to California and I tried doing that to people and people want to get out of their vehicles and fight me all the time. And I'm like, what in the world? Can we not just be friendly to people? But that's our society today. But it should not be the society that us as Christians are creating. We should have fruit about us that the people around us can see evident in just the small things in our life. I want to ask you this tonight. What's growing on your branches? What kind of fruit is growing on your branches? Let me ask you this question, I'm done. If the people that know you best, if we were to ask them to choose one fruit that best describes you, what fruit would they choose? And then if we were to say, well, what's one fruit that's missing in their life? What fruit would they choose? You know. I think that's a question that can bring a reality check to our life. If you go through those nine things that he mentions here, which ones are you struggling with? Which ones do you need help with? You need your Savior to help you. Don't come look, ask me for the help. You need your Savior to help you. You need to have a relationship with him. And if there's one that you're struggling with, Lord, help me to have more patience. Lord, help me to be more long-suffering. Lord, help me to have more peace in my life. Help me, Lord, to have more fruit in these areas that I'm struggling with. We all produce something. The flesh will produce one fruit and the spirit will produce another fruit. What are you producing tonight? What do you produce in your life, teenagers, right now? Not your parents, not your siblings. What are you producing right now? What are your friends? What would they say would be the fruits, the qualities about you? Man, these are really, really good. I had a young man, I mentioned this in Sunday school a little bit this morning, but a young man in college who's just started dating a girl, and I told him, man, you need to make sure you know what she believes. I'm giving him all these things, you know, to make sure before you pursue this relationship, you know, make sure she knows what she believes in, because she's got a sibling who's kind of gone the wrong direction. And I said, just make sure that she doesn't look up to that brother. And I said, make sure that she's nailed down everything she believes. Next thing I know, he hadn't talked to her yet. She's calling my wife up, grilling my wife, asking all these questions about him and about, you know, would you let your daughter date this young man? If your daughter was interested in him, would you let your daughter date him? I know he was in your youth group. Would you, with everything you know about him, would you want your daughter dating him? And then she said, if your husband ever had the opportunity to hire him, would he be someone that your husband would ever consider hiring based upon what he knows? Man, she was asking all these tough questions. My wife was like, this is impressive. And then she was asking, what does he believe when it comes to dress standards? What does he believe when it comes to music? Not just what he says, what does he really believe? You know. My wife was like, I have never heard of a teenage girl, I think she's 20 years old or something like that. I've never heard of that before. And she said, this was impressive. And I thought, man, I told the young man, I said, you're lucky that you left a good impression upon my wife, because I said, she had some good answers to give for you. I said, this girl's doing, and she never even told, I don't think she to this day that she's ever told him that she went and called my wife. She called my sister, who's the pastor's wife out there, and then my other sister who's worked out there. And I don't even know who else she's called, but she's calling everybody to figure out, making sure, am I dating the right guy? And I said, man, I told him, this should remind you that all along your life, you are producing fruit. And I said, you've left some fruit behind that were good qualities when you were in the youth group that people can give a good response to you. And I said, that should never change. Should never change in your life. And I said, learn from this experience, because I said, this could have been really bad. This could have been really bad for you, because you could have really gotten exposed. Because I tell you this, my wife's not going to lie on your behalf, okay? She would have told the truth. And I said, but the fruit that you're leaving behind. What kind of fruit is hanging from your life? Not how long have you been saved? How long have you been coming to church? Not how, oh, what Sunday school class do you teach? What junior church do you teach? No, no. What kind of fruit are you producing? And if we want this fruit that he's talking about, you don't need to try harder. You need to surrender deeper tonight. Surrender deeper tonight. You need to walk with the Spirit, yield to the Spirit, listen to the Spirit, obey the Spirit. May this fruit of the Spirit grow best in our heart when we fully are committed to him. If we will just fully commit to him, hey, these things that we may be struggling with, the fruits of the Spirit, hey, we're not going to be an expert in all of them. And I don't care who you are, where you're at, what stage of life you're in, there's going to be some that get out of balance and they need to get back under control. And you need to ask your Savior to help you. I need to ask my Savior to help me. Lord, help me in this particular area. And there's some areas that you may be strong in. But he talks about the fruit of the Spirit. And all nine of those things are things we should be striving to be more like our Savior. Let's pray tonight. Dear Father, thank you so much for your word. And thank you so much for, Lord, the fruits of the Spirit, Lord, that we should be striving for to be more like you. And Lord, I know in my life I can go to different accounts of my life or certain things that I struggled with, Lord. And I'm thankful for the people that you put in my life to help expose those things. I'm thankful for people that told me at times that I was struggling with certain areas, friends in my life. I didn't want to hear those things, but I was thankful for those times, Lord. Help me focus and figure out how, Lord, to get closer to you so that you could help me become stronger in those particular areas, Lord. And I pray if there's anyone here tonight that's struggling with that, Lord, that you'd help them and help them to get in their Bible more and be more faithful to you and not try on their own to become better in these fruits, Lord, but to be totally dependent upon you and ask you for